It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and today I've got a great program for you. I want to share with you one of my favorite verses. This is in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. It says, God made him, speaking of Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, this is one of the best verses in all of the Bible. Spurgeon called it the heart of the gospel. It's the gospel in one verse. Everything you need to know about how to get to heaven is found in these 23 words. There's an amazing simplicity here in this passage of Scripture where God shares with us how we get to heaven. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did everything that needed to be done to get you to heaven, friend. How important is this verse? If you miss it, you miss the truth of God. If you get this right, you can be wrong in a whole lot of other places and still get to heaven. But in these days of theological confusion, it's very important that the Church of Jesus be firmly settled on the gospel message. Some things you can believe differently and it's not that important, but if you miss the heart of the gospel, friend, you miss the way to heaven. Jesus took my sin so that I could take his righteousness. It's called the divine exchange. He took my sin. He gave me right standing with the Father. It's really shocking when we stop and consider that our God, who cannot even look upon sin, who detests sin, who demands perfection, made his Son to become the very thing that held us captive. Jesus took the sin of the world upon his shoulders. He took the blame for every wrong thing I would ever do. And no wonder the Father couldn't even look upon his Son as he was hanging upon the cross and darkness covered the face of the earth as God had to turn his back on his own Son. Now remember in Mark 16, when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he said in verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So many today are preaching anything but good news. See, the good news is Jesus did all the heavy lifting for you. He did the hard work, and your part is simply to believe. And when we believe in him, when we believe that he is the Son of God, that he paid the penalty, that equips us to begin to live out our Christian faith. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what does he mean when he said rightly dividing the word of truth? The Bible is a book that contains two religions, the religion of Judaism and the religion of Christianity, grace by faith, through grace by faith. Now, when I studied Hebrew with the Jews in the synagogue, we studied the same Bible, and the Old Testament is their Bible. And so there contains the religion of Judaism, which was a salvation by works. How perfect did you have to be? Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. 613 laws they had to keep with absolute perfection. Jesus is the only one who ever accomplished that feat. He did it so he would fulfill the law for you and I. So when he says rightly dividing, Paul's telling Timothy, divide Old Covenant versus New Covenant. The Old Covenant was not good news. It was bad news. It told us that we all have failed miserably and we could not accomplish the perfect life that was expected for us to live. But in the New Covenant, Christ became sin, the thing that held me captive, so that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's good news, friend. Let me read this verse one more time, and then we want to examine it closely since This is the gospel in one verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the first thing God tells us in this verse is in regards to his character, he had no sin. Now, do you remember when John the Baptist had the awesome role of introducing Jesus as the Messiah? Jesus comes down there by the Jordan River, and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus had no sin. When Christ Jesus walked on this earth, he was perfect in every aspect of the law. Now, why did he have to be without sin? Because if you go back to the Old Testament, the story of the Passover in Exodus 12, they had to examine the lamb. Every family had to take a lamb, and it had to be a lamb without spot or blemish. It had to be perfect, because that lamb would represent the Messiah who would one day take away our sin, the Lamb of God. So John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Do you remember how Pontius Pilate, when he introduced Jesus, remember what he said to the crowd? He said, "I find no fault in him." Jesus literally didn't do one thing wrong through his entire life that he lived here on the earth. Even when he was hanging on the cross, remember what the Roman centurion said? He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God. This man is not an ordinary man. This man was the Son of God." You see, that's why it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, regarding Jesus, it said he was tempted in all points, in all manner, yet without sin. So the first thing about him was his character. He was without sin. The second thing God tells us here is he became sin for us. See, Paul's not telling us that Jesus became a sinner, that he did wrong, because that would not be possible. Christ still personally was without sin, but he took responsibility. He took all of my sin and allowed the Father to judge him on the cross for every wrong thing I would ever do. He's identified with sinners because the Bible says he was numbered among the transgressors, Isaiah 53 and verse 12. He not only died between two sinners, two thieves on the cross, but he was numbered with them, and he died as they died, dying a criminal's death on the cross. Now, there's two aspects of this I want you to grasp today on Fresh Oil. The first thing is he took our place, because when it says he took our sin, I want you to understand he took our place and he also took our penalty. So he died for us so that I didn't have to be judged and placed upon a cross. Think about that today. Jesus died in your place. He died for every wrong thing you'll ever do as he hung upon the tree. He not only died for us, but he took our penalty. He took the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So after that first truth of him dying for us, you got to understand, he took our penalty. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, "The Lord had laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Could you imagine, my friend, a book that contained every wrong thing you ever did in your life and every wrong thing you'll ever do up until the moment you die, and that big book was laid on the shoulders of Jesus when he died. The one who was holy, perfect, and pure took all my sin, and he died for it, taking the penalty for everything I ever did. Now imagine God going from you having to be perfect, "Be ye perfect, therefore, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." That was the law. Imagine God going from that standard to he goes to the point that if you believe upon Jesus and what he did on the cross, you have eternal life. See, friend, that takes faith. It takes faith to believe that God could forgive me without me having to die. God could forgive me by just me believing on what Jesus did on the cross. He took the crushing weight of my sin, and he died for it on the cross so that I could be free. The third thing that this passage of Scripture, this beautiful verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the third thing it tells us is this: his gift, that we might become the righteousness of God. I love seeing a tiny baby, a newborn baby. I have two grandsons, and to me, that's the most wonderful thing. And one of the greatest moments of my life has been the birth of my children. And when I look at a newborn baby and you see the innocence in that child, you know, I've yet to see a baby born coming out smoking a cigar and cussing. Now imagine God giving us that same innocent standard like a newborn baby. And that's what he gives us as a free gift. This third miracle in this verse is that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That means we're in right standing with our Heavenly Father. Wow. God condemned sin in Jesus so that he could bestow upon us the gift of righteousness. Jesus bore my sin so that I could be free from sin. He died that I might live. He suffered so that I wouldn't have to. He was made sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Theologians have a term for this. Again, they call it the divine exchange. They call it the doctrine of imputation. See, that's a banking term. It's like when you debit one account, you got to credit the other. So it means that when we trust Jesus, my sin was credited to him, and his righteousness was credited back to me. He takes our debt, and we get the good stuff. Friend, that's why it's good news. That's why the gospel is good news. See, under religion, I tried so hard under religion. I grew up, never had a drink of alcohol, never smoked a cigarette, didn't do drugs, did all these things trying to be righteous, and I always felt like I was going to hell because I was trying to achieve righteousness in my own behavior. And one day when I began to understand the grace of God, I was an adult, I was a pastor, and I began to read and understand the gospel of grace, and it was like pouring healing oil all over my body. I began to weep as I understood that God gave me righteousness as a free gift. Remember, Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Not study so God will approve you. God already approved you. He approved you when he died for you on the cross. And when you believed on him and asked him into your life, God approved you at that moment. So now you're to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Paul told us in Romans chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, listen to this, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. If you're listening to Fresh Oil today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, maybe you've been religious, maybe you've attended church since you were a baby, I want you to know today, friend, that righteousness from God's a free gift. And all you have to do is ask him. Tell him, say, God, I believe Jesus came here and died, your son. He died for my sins, and I just ask him into my heart right now. And I believe upon him, and I'm here today to tell you, you'll be born again. God will change your life. He'll give you life worth living. That's the divine exchange. That's the good news. Thank you for joining me today. God loves you, friend, with an everlasting love.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.